Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Black Friday is back, but it's not what it used to be. The Associated Press, New York. On this year's Black Friday, things almost seem normal. Malls and stores report decent-sized crowds, if not the floods of people that used to fight over the latest toys and electronics. Online shopping is much too common for that now, and discounts are both more subdued and spread out over the weeks leading up to Christmas on both websites and in stores. But out-of-stock items due to supply crunches, higher prices for gas and food, and labor shortages that make it more difficult to respond to customers are also causing frustrations for shoppers. The country's largest mall, the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, reported overall traffic numbers at its opening on Friday were up by more than double compared to a year ago. "We had a fantastic start," said Mall of America Senior Vice President Jill Renslow. Like many retailers and restaurants, however, staffing issues affected the mall and it had to trim the hours it was open. Black Friday sales in stores and online were up 12% by mid-morning, according to MasterCard Spending Pulse, which tracks spending broadly across cards and cash. That was tracking below its 20% growth forecast for the day. Overall holiday sales are expected to grow this year. For the November and December period, the National Retail Federation, the nation's largest retail trade group, predicts that sales will increase between 8.5% and 10.5%. Holiday sales increased about 8% in 2020 when shoppers locked down during the early part of the pandemic spent their money on pajamas and home goods. While Black Friday has a strong hold on Americans' imagination as a day of crazed shopping, it has lost stature over the last decade as stores opened on Thanksgiving and shopping shifted to Amazon and other online retailers. Stores diluted the day's importance further by advertising Black Friday sales on more and more days. The pandemic led many retailers to close stores on Thanksgiving Day and push discounts on their websites, starting as early as October. That's continuing this year, although there are deals in stores as well. At the Fashion Center Mall in the Northern Virginia suburbs, window signs advertised 50% off boots at Aldo, 40% off full-price items at J. Crew, and 30% off at Forever 21. At the Capitol Mall in Olympia, Washington, stores advertised sales of 35% to 50% off. Big retailers like Walmart aren't blasting doorbuster deals in their ads, said DealNews.com analyst Julie Ramhold. Meanwhile, smaller chains like Victoria's Secret and Gap are having harder time managing supply issues. Victoria's Secret said recently that 45% of its holiday merchandise is still stuck in transit. Supply chain holdups are a major concern this year, and both stores and shoppers are trying to find workarounds. Some of the biggest U.S. retailers are rerouting goods to less congested ports, even chartering their own vessels. Macy's CEO Jeff Jeannette said the company is prepared. "We are deep and we are ready," he said, noting inventory levels are up 20% compared to last year. "We are in good shape." But many sales floors looked different than in years past, when tall piles of merchandise used to be on display. At Macy's in Manhattan, gone were the shoes stacked so high, shoppers couldn't reach them. Fears of not being able to get the items they want helped drive people back to physical stores. Tim Claiborne was shopping at Fashion Center in Pentagon City, Virginia, on Friday morning because he wanted to be sure he could get the gifts he wanted for his relatives. "Everyone is so worried about not having things shipped to you on time," he said. "I'd rather just get stuff in person so I don't have to worry about the shipping." That didn't work out for everyone, though. Christian McDonald, the first person in a line of about 75 people waiting for a Costa Mesa, California Target store to open, came away empty-handed. I came here because I figured since it was Black Friday, they'd have the new Switch OLED in stock, but they didn't, said McDonald, who waited an hour and a half to get in for the sought-after Nintendo video game console. So I'm just going to go home, I guess. Still, experts believe Black Friday will again be the busiest shopping day this year. U.S. retail sales, excluding auto and gas, from this past Monday through Sunday, are expected to increase 10% from last year and 12% from the 2019 holiday season, according to MasterCard Spending Pulse. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. Leonardo Acosta Garza, 58, of Andrews, passed away on November 20th at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. Leonardo was born on July 23, 1963, to Santos Garza and Maria Cantu in Lovington, New Mexico. He is survived by three children, Erica Acosta and her husband Salvador Sal of San Antonio, Austin Lee Garza and his wife Callie of Andrews, and Alexis Garza of Austin. Nine grandchildren. His brothers Ricardo Garza and his wife Nadia Santos Jr. Garza, and Philip Garza and his wife Michelle. His mother Maria Acosta Cantu. He is preceded in death by his grandson Jeremiah Garza, his brother Eduardo Eddie Garza, his biological father Santos Garza, and his father Juan Blue Cantu. A viewing will be held on Monday, November 29th, beginning at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Rosary will be held on Monday, November 29th, beginning at 6 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Funeral Mass will be celebrated on Tuesday, November 30th at 10 a.m. at St. Elizabeth's in Odessa, immediately followed by burial at American Heritage Cemetery. Earl Bub McCarty left this world behind and went with Jesus to heaven on November 15th at 5:30 a.m. He left behind the love of his life, Annette Tuttle McCarty, after 61 years of marriage. He was born Alonzo Earl McCarty, February 19, 1943, in Santa Ana, Texas, to Doris Galen McCarty and Jesse Featherston McCarty. The youngest of three children, his sisters Joanne McCarty Lucas and Joyce McCarty Greenlee and her husband Frank, were left behind also. His oldest son, Barry George McCarty, died on December 23, 1980, in Casper, Wyoming. His daughter, Barbara Gail McCarty Williams, and his youngest son, Kelly Bo McCarty, are left to mourn his going along with their spouses. He is also survived by his sister-in-law, Nita Gail Chatham Weaver, and her husband, Billy. No services are planned. Arrangements are through Heartland Funeral Home of Comanche. Michael Allen Crow, 61, died Thursday, November 25th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Edwin Ray Frazier, 69, died Wednesday, November 24th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Evans Casey, 45, died Friday, October 29th. In Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Victor Manuel Lozano, 67, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 21st in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. November 24th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 29th. Athletic program adds dimensions. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Through the years, athletic training has become more than just taping sprained ankles on a football field. Alana Dennison, academic chair for the Department of Athletic Training and interim coordinator for the Kinesiology Department at University of Texas of the Permian Basin, said they treat everyone from elite athletes to weekend warriors and people that enjoy gardening. Dennison, who also is coordinator of clinical labs and an assistant professor, said athletic trainers can now be found in locations as different as physicians' offices, Amazon, and the military. Located in the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center, the program is part of the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance and includes nursing, social work, and other fields. There are certifications you can add, but an entry-level degree as an athletic trainer, quote, really opens every door that you need it to, Dennison said. Quote, there are just some things that can help you along the way in the unique areas. In Texas, Amazon is actually one of the biggest employers of athletic trainers. They have athletic trainers in most of their distribution facilities, Dennison added. In those facilities, the athletic trainers evaluate how people move when they're working so they can look at the ergonomic setup of a workstation and adjust that to accommodate how somebody is built, she said. Quote, so if they're taller, if they're shorter, how they stand, which hand is dominant, we can adjust workstations to allow for that, Dennis said. We look at how people lift, how they do all of the tasks that are at the high-risk tasks at work, and we can keep people safe and healthy at work, she added. Quote, now, in a lot of places, you'll see a group of athletic trainers. Instead of having a PT, physical therapist, and PA, physician assistant, and an MD, medical doctor, and a strength and conditioning coach, you can have an athletic trainer that can fill all those roles, so it goes a lot deeper than just doing massage, Dennison added. Social work can help when athletes are transitioning from being in sports because they can offer ways to cope and help them look at career options. Quote, the NFL is a prime example of hiring social workers to help individuals transition out of football, Dennison said. In Texas, she said, there are two options for athletic training. Quote, we have licensure and we have certification. To become a certified athletic trainer, you have to go through a program that is accredited by the Commission on Accreditation of Athletic Training Education to become licensed. There are no requirements, essentially, for those programs except what is set out by the TDLR, the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. So those are two separate entities, if you will. Texas is the only state that you can practice as an athletic trainer without being certified, Dennison said. So in the rest of the country, you have to go through a CAATE accredited program to practice. In Texas, you can go through what we call a licensure program and be able to practice. So those are both entry-level proficient programs. Continuing the quote, the CAATE programs has transitioned now to master's-level programs or are in the process of transitioning to master's-level programs, and then we're teaching out all of the undergraduate degrees. That is a difference we're going to see in Texas. Now we'll essentially have the bachelor's programs for licensure and the master's programs for certification. With both of these degrees, you can work anywhere in the field as an athletic trainer, she added. Dennison said a master's degree has been proposed for UTPB. Quote, we are anticipating, fingers crossed, our first cohort in the summer of 2022 to seek accreditation, she said. There are 36 students in the bachelor's program. This is the largest group they have had in some time. Quote, we have our biggest ever freshman cohort, which is very exciting, Dennison said. The program was approved in spring of 2021 through the American Society of Orthopedic Professionals to offer a certification or concentration program that will allow students to work in a physician's office. Alondra Morales, a senior, will earn a degree in athletic training. The improving and up-and-coming nature of the program drew her in, along with the location. Morales says she was involved in sports medicine at Midland High School. Quote, I did sports medicine my junior year and senior year of high school. Starting my junior year, I really fell in love with it and wanted to continue in it, she said. She said she was around sports and tried out for a number of them, but didn't make it. Quote, it was the next thing, and I've always been a helper and wanting to help people get better, so that's what drew me into athletic training, Morales said. Senior Megan Pennington said athletic training is a, quote, very good step-by-step program that really helps you put it all together, end quote. Like Morales, Pennington was involved in sports medicine at home in El Paso. She said her roommate, who she also went to high school with, introduced her to athletic training. The program has integrated other aspects of the curriculum into athletic training. Quote, I think it's really good. I think it's really cool that we have our own building, college, because we all work together so closely, especially the nurses and athletic trainers, Pennington said. She was drawn to athletic training after sustaining a shoulder injury in high school. Quote, I had to get surgery for it, and when I went to the athletic trainees in high school, I was like, this is so cool. They get to tape. They don't have to sit down all the time because my biggest fear is having a computer job, and if you watch me in class, I can never sit still. So this job was very diverse and quick. It challenges me, Pennington said. Safety tips for the holiday travel season. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I think all of us who have had kids in our lives that we put on buses for band, athletics, or other school events spend quite a bit of time praying with our hearts in our throats for the Andrews High School band students, faculty, and volunteers on the 19th. I wanted to recognize the extraordinary efforts of the first responders from several police departments in the Big Spring area, EMS providers from Big Spring, and the private air transport companies, and the nurses, doctors, and many other healthcare heroes at Scenic Mountain Medical Center in Big Spring. Without the skill and teamwork of these very exceptional people, that horrible wreck would have been far, far worse. For those of you who responded to that awful wreck, thank you so much for being there for our community that day and every day. You are extraordinary. Unfortunately, that wreck showed how dangerous our crowded roads in West Texas can be. The holidays only add to that load. An estimated 3.9 million Texans traveled over the Thanksgiving holiday. That is numbers that rival pre-pandemic levels. The remainder of the holiday season this year is expected to be the same, with travel back to levels seen in 2018 and 2019, roughly 2 million people in the U.S. during December alone. That means a huge number of additional people will be on the roads and in our airports over the next month. If you are traveling this holiday season, even locally, please add these travel safety tips to your plans. If traveling on the roads, experts recommend you download the latest road information for your trip and include construction detours. Include weather forecasts as part of your travel plans so you can pack appropriately and plan for potential delays. The Federal Highway Administration has national traffic and road closure information on their website. That site also has links to IntelliCast highway conditions and the National Weather Service, so you can look up weather-related road conditions for your trip. Let a friend or family member know where you will be, when to expect you to arrive and return, and what route you will take. Travel, if at all possible, during daylight hours when visibility is best. Carry your cell phone with you when you travel, so you can call for help in an emergency, but don't use it while you are driving. Anywhere in Texas, you can call 911, 800-525-555, or *377 from a cell phone to reach emergency services. Keep your doors locked, keep your windows rolled up, keep at least half a tank of fuel in your vehicle, and make sure your vehicle is in good repair. Finally, do not drink or get in the car with anyone who has been drinking, has used mind reflex-altering drugs, either prescription or illicit, or who has not had adequate sleep. With air travel, take the time to listen to the flight attendant safety briefing. So many people ignore this briefing, yet it could mean life or death in the event of an accident. Please take the time to listen, especially if you are seated in an emergency exit row. Keep your seatbelt fastened when you are seated. Even if the seatbelt light is off, turbulence can happen unexpectedly. Dress in comfortable clothes that are easier to move around in and provide some protection in an emergency. Cotton can protect your skin, while some synthetics are highly flammable. Consider if the footwear you choose will help or hinder you during an evacuation. Know where the closest exit is to your seat in the event of an evacuation. Avoid alcohol because of the intoxicating effects, and remember, alcohol tends to have a stronger effect in the thinner air pressure of flight. Alcohol also makes jet lag worse and increases the risk of dehydration. Behave with courtesy and respect. Most airlines and the TSA have strict policies on behavior because poor behavior can cause safety concerns. Poor behavior can lead to arrest and heavy fines. Keep heavy objects out of overhead bins. They can fall and injure you or others. Consider compression socks. Get up and walk around when the seatbelt sign is off on long flights to avoid blood clots and or swelling in your legs. Even stretching and moving your legs in your seat will help avoid these issues. Know how to use the oxygen mask. Remember to put your mask on first before helping someone else. In the event of an evacuation, do not take personal items. Everything except you can be replaced. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you have a safe and happy remainder of the holiday season.
Diarrhea after taking antibiotics. To your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, I was hospitalized and put on IV antibiotics 2 weeks ago and followed it up with another week of oral antibiotics, amoxicillin. Since getting this treatment, I have had diarrhea. Is this a result of the antibiotics? Dr. Roach writes, the diarrhea is very likely to be related to the antibiotics. Antibiotics destroy much of your healthy bacteria living in the colon, which often leads to diarrhea. Most of the time, the normal bacteria will come back after finishing the antibiotics, and the diarrhea goes away. Diarrhea with fever or blood, or that persists, should prompt evaluation for a serious infection. Clostridioides difficile, which needs urgent treatment. C. diff is resistant to most antibiotics, so virtually any antibiotic predisposes to this dangerous infection, as the C. diff takes over the intestine after the healthy bacteria have been killed off by the antibiotics. Many people will treat antibiotic-associated diarrhea with probiotics, healthy bacteria, either as food, such as yogurt, or as a supplement. It's not clear how effective this is. Working wife continues to support husband who left. Dear Abby for Saturday. Dear Abby, my husband of 35 years moved out 3 years ago. We live only a block apart, and I contribute a lot to his household because he's on disability and doesn't have enough money to make it through the month. I have a great job and travel as a photographer. My job is the reason he moved out. According to him, I was gone too much. Recently, we have discussed the possibility of divorcing. Although he hasn't done it yet, he has expressed interest in dating a man. But then he pulls me back in with the I love you and can't live without you stuff. I don't know what to do. He is hostile when I'm away at work and constantly accuses me of cheating. I am at a loss. Please help. In a fix in Alabama. Dear In a fix, if your estranged husband is expressing interest in dating another man, the chances are pretty good that he has already given it a try. Another tip-off is the fact that he is constantly accusing you of cheating. There's an old French saying that translates to something like this: a man doesn't look behind the door unless he has stood there himself. Talk to an attorney and find out what the legal grounds for divorce are in the great state of Alabama. Adultery and desertion may be two of them, which means you might qualify. Dear Abby, my husband is a thoughtful, kind person and an excellent partner. Raised in the South, we were both taught to call people ma'am and sir. Instead of reserving these terms only for older or more distinguished people, he uses them with everyone, including when speaking to our peers. We are in our early 40s. I've noticed that it's off-putting to some of my female friends when he refers to them as Miss, first name, or ma'am. They feel he's calling them old compared to himself, which I know is not his intention. I've mentioned this to him a few times, but it's a habit he is finding hard to break. I don't want to hurt his feelings by constantly harping on something that seems insignificant, but I also want him to stop being quite so polite. Have you any advice for getting around this? Mannered in the South. Dear Mannered, yes, I do. I'm advising you to stand by your man and straighten out your overly sensitive female friends. Assure them that this is the way both of you were raised, and the nicety is regional. It would be better than nagging your husband about it because he is doing nothing wrong by using those formalities. Dear Abby, Adam and Amanda are dating. Is it okay for Amanda to braid the long hair of her single, heterosexual male friend Adonis, or is she crossing a line in her relationship? Just wondering in Virginia. Just wondering. If Adam doesn't like Amanda braiding Adonis locks, he has the mouth and can use it to tell her to cut it out. Unless you are Adam, Adonis, or Amanda, stay out of it and resist the urge to weigh in.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.